From the Atlantic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus screaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. If you are just now tuning into the show, I am actually broadcasting from far out in the Texas countryside, outside San Antonio, not far from the community of Kickaster. And I know I'll get some emails if I don't clarify. Around here, they call it Kicaster, but I prefer Kickaster. I'm actually, to be more specific, on a ranch here in La Vernia, Texas. It's weird how they pronounce the names differently around here due to the German influence. A lot of Germans moved into this part of Texas for some reason. So you have, for example, there's a town called, it's spelled G-R, I think it's G-R-U-E-N. They call that Green. There's a town spelled S-E-G-U-I-N. They call that Seguin. So a lot of different pronunciations for places in this part of Texas. So I just like saying Kickaster. So I'll say that I'm from Kickaster, and it's not the place you want to start up a bar fight. Let's put it that way. This hour of the program, I was saying in the first hour of the show, I have avoided over the months talking about what is really bad news, and it has to do with the implications of the Fukushima disaster. We're talking about the Japanese nuclear reactor that underwent a meltdown after the earthquake there, and the implications of the Fukushima disaster have really just been kind of underreported by the mainstream media, and it's just now starting to get to the point to where it's not being ignored so much anymore. I mean, just George Norrie did a show about it on Coast to Coast AM. And the problem is, we've known that some of this nuclear fallout was going to head in the direction of the United States. But now some of the levels are actually starting to go up, especially in the rainwater that's coming down, that's seeping into the groundwater. And, you know, it's one thing to be exposed to radiation. It's another thing when you start ingesting it, especially if there are babies or children in their formative years ingesting it. And, you know, if you drink radioactive water or you eat fruits or vegetables that have grown from it, or you eat animals that have fed upon those fruits and vegetables, that's when you get into an issue, when it starts to actually get into your body. And so as much as I've resisted talking about it, the emails have just been flooding in. People want to know what to believe. They want to know the truth. And Mr. Mobius has been just obsessively keeping track of this. He's been sending me big, long, elaborate emails almost every day saying, hey, something big is going on here, and we can't ignore this anymore. So we thought it was important to bring him on to the show tonight to give everybody the real scoop on what is occurring and you know, an update on how this is going to possibly develop. So, Mr. Mobius, welcome, sir, to Speaking of Strange.
It's nice to be here tonight.
And, you know, this is our 11-year anniversary show, so a big moment, a time we should be celebrating, but we always keep the topics first and foremost. And so give us some background here. I mean, you've been keeping your eye on this disaster. It happened the 11th of March, 2011. So why now should everybody in the United States be so concerned? What exactly is going on here?
For some unknown reason, the Japanese reaction to this entire problem has just been paradoxical. Probably the safest thing they could have done is to promptly seal up all of these reactors in concrete sarcophagus and just simply have them solid, sealed, and not leaking. But it may be more complex than that. I don't think the Japanese even know where the cores are in their reactors. There's a good chance they've melted into the ground, they have no containment, and over the last 3 years, instead of the radiation decreasing, it's increased. It's becoming spread all over the world, it's dumping into the ocean, and we're starting to see higher and higher amounts of radiation that are being deposited all over the United States. In fact, I saw yesterday in Chernobyl that they actually detected contamination on their meters from Fukushima, which is just totally insane.
Okay, now Mobius, in 1945, the U.S. dropped two powerful nuclear weapons on Japan. What is the difference between what happened then in terms of our exposure to radiation versus what is happening with this Fukushima situation?
That is a really good question, and it gets said a lot. Look, these bombs went off. You know, Japan survived. What's the big deal with the reactors? And the best analogy I can use is you can have a forest fire somewhere near your home, and you can survive that. Your house will smell smoky. Things will be bad, but it will get over it. The situation with the reactors, for just a very rough analogy, is more like having tires that are piled up in the middle of the street in front of your homes that smolder and burn and give off this dark, nasty, toxic smoke. Even though it is a lot less intense than a forest fire, ultimately it will contaminate and just set up all of the homes, all of the neighborhoods, and essentially make the neighborhood just uninhabitable. And such is the case. The radiation just keeps leaking. We don't have a huge event that disperses. We have an ongoing mess that just keeps becoming a denser and denser kind of toxic smoke is the best analogy.
And I also have read some very credible news stories saying that there was mass underestimation of how many of these biological organisms, as well as pieces of debris, that have been able to retain radiation and make it all the way to the U.S. So, you know, we're talking about radiation coming via the ocean. We're talking about it coming down in rainwater. Do you feel like that there has been an active conspiracy to cover up what's happening here, or is it just a matter of the media being unable to get a good handle on how to report this?
There have been some signs that the media, such as NPR, has agreed to report the Fukushima story. What you essentially have is a political war going on here. The nuclear industry does not like bad news. To give you an example, Russia officially recognizes the death total as 1 million in Chernobyl. The IAEA says the maximum was 4,000. You cannot take these numbers and combine them and get anything that even makes sense from the two perspectives. So I think that the entire nuclear industry wants to take the whole situation in Japan and simply provide very misleading information to how dangerous it is, because all of their plants and their whole industry is on the line here.
And we should let everybody know that you and I are not at all newcomers when it comes to the idea of measuring radiation and even understanding the effect that it can have on the human body. In fact, I will just go ahead and mention here, and I probably talked about this on the air before, but when I was a kid, my father gave me a compass that was carried by his father during World War II, and I, of course, prized this compass, and I carried it around for years on my person in my pocket there on camping trips. And when I finally bought my first Geiger counter when I was in my early 20s, I was going around scanning things in my house, and I had heard that some of these old World War II items might be radioactive. And so I scanned this compass, and it just went off the charts. It was unbelievably radioactive, because back in those days, it was common for the military to paint the dials of compasses and watches with a little bit of radium paint so that it would have a glow-in-the-dark effect. In fact, a lot of the ladies who worked in the factory painting those radioactive radium dials died from horrible cancers. It turns out that some of them would sit there and actually wet their paintbrushes in their mouths throughout the day while they were painting this stuff on. And so, you know, their tongues would swell up, their jaws would fall off. I mean, horrible things would happen to these ladies. And so when I learned that I'd been carrying this compass, I freaked out, of course, and I fortunately at that time I had a friend who worked at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory. I've still got a bunch of different friends who have been involved with radiation, and we were looking at the numbers and talking it out, and it turns out that supposedly I'm okay. I mean, it's still at some point I wouldn't doubt if some little arm starts growing out of my leg or something, but nonetheless, I have been, you know, very aware of what this kind of thing can do to the human body. I've looked at how these different measurements compared to what we are exposed to every day from cosmic radiation are compared to radioactive items and radioactive fallout. And you have an extensive background in radiation, so we're not coming at this from some naive perspective when we say there is a real reason to be concerned here. And it appears, Mobius, that so far the people in Japan who have been put in charge of keeping this radioactive disaster contained are private corporations who are not even accountable to public auditing. Is that what you understand as well?
This is correct, and they're very afraid of that information leaking out. Instead of being very public to what is going on, Japan's actually passed a secrets law that makes it a 5-year instant felony either to disclose information the government has not approved or for a reporter to ask for information for which is not approved from Fukushima by the government. So they have essentially created a clampdown on anything leaking out that they do not have control of.
Okay, we're going to take our first break this hour, and when we come back, we're going to talk very realistically about exactly what is reaching the United States, some of the levels that are being monitored and measured, what this means to all of you listening to this show, and what you can do about it. So you want to hear this. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. This is Speaking of Strange.
Welcome to the new age.
are in it, yes. We try to bring you good news when we can, but, well, it's kind of bad news this hour tonight. We're talking about the radiation that is reaching the U.S. now from the Fukushima disaster. Before we get back into that discussion, I would like to mention that, you know, Mobius, a great friend of yours and mine and this show is Marie Samuels, who does Macabre Moments. And she recently interviewed me on her radio program. And you were telling me for a long time that it's one of the great things about this show is that we're able to inspire other people to go out there and spread their voice. And, boy, Marie is fantastic. She's an excellent host. And she's always there in the chat room at speakingofstrange.com, and she's right on top of everything we're doing on this show, isn't she?
She is, and she's been a lot of help to us behind the scenes. Picking shows, doing things, sort of like away on your mission, and I always like to thank her for all the help she gives us.
Well, she told me that it was a life-changing experience for her to read The Oblivious Gods. And if you go to speakingofstrange.com, we have a link to her show there, Macabre Moments, that you can listen to the interview that she did and what's been happening in her life since she read The Oblivious Gods. And I just am so excited about what she's experiencing. And I just, you know, I really commend her, and I think she's doing an excellent job as a host. So thank you for a great interview, Marie, and we hope everybody goes there and listens. And keep in mind, The Oblivious Gods is a free audiobook. It's freely available to everybody. Just go to theobliviousgods.com, and there's also a link at joshuapwarren.com. When it comes to all of this radiation that's reaching the U.S., I've owned a lot of different Geiger counters, and when you turn them on, the first thing you notice is that there is radiation that's coming through our atmosphere all the time, cosmic radiation. You get a certain amount of pops or clicks, depending on the device that you use, just emanating from the Big Bang itself. So to a certain extent, humans are well adapted to radiation. But tell us, Mobius, about the difference between the normal amount of radiation that we experience and what has been happening here in the U.S. since the Fukushima disaster.
Okay, normally in the U.S. you see about 20 to 40 CPM in any given location, a little higher in Colorado. But we have seen minor increases each day in the background radiation. And nothing, you know, normally to be, you know, overwhelmed, 10 to 20 CPM counts in some areas. We've seen rainfalls and snowfalls that have between 60 and 150 CPM. And many times the nuclear industry point out that these levels are not significant. There's no danger from the exposure. And I agree. But this is very misleading. Because unlike the other forms of radiation in the environment, the forms of radiation that we're getting that are just slowly coming into our ecosystem are building up a little bit each day, each rainfall, some particles that are falling from the air, and the danger is not exposure. This is the lie and the misdirection. The danger is twofold. It is either consuming radiation into the body or inhaling it into the lungs. Either one of these is approximately 1,000 times more dangerous. And this is the change that's taking place. This is the poison in the environment that we now need to be aware of. So we're seeing soil levels in California. They're detecting higher for cesium-137, the strawberries, the lettuce. The few government reports we have, such as Alaska, have huge amounts of radiation in some of the outer islands that have been documented, from actual plutonium to uranium, just simply laying around in particles on everything. I haven't seen as detailed a report for California or Oregon or Washington, but it's a three-day trip from California to Japan for particles. It's a 4-day trip to Washington, a 5-day trip to Alaska. So it's only logical to assume that they probably got a heavier dose in California than Alaska.
And so people out there are collecting rainwater and then pouring it through something like a coffee filter and measuring that coffee filter and getting extremely surprising and scary levels of radiation right now.
Right. And that is a very good explanation you just gave of an experiment. I've heard many people say that the rain or snow coming down is what is called radon uptake. And that is where radon is captured and comes back down. But as the rainwater or snow melts, it evaporates, and it's not then true contamination. But when you're able to run it through a filter and it still remains radioactive, oh, yes, it's contamination. And it is not then explainable away. So you just hit on another fallacy I've heard being said that dismisses the fact that it's not true contamination. It's a very good point.
Because, I mean, if you have a cup of radioactive rainwater, those radioactive particles are going to be kind of distributed throughout the water. And so if you just sort of scan the cup, maybe you'll get a hit here or there, but you have to look at this three-dimensionally. On the other hand, if you pour that through a filter and it just collects those radioactive particles, or you take something like food and you grind it up, and you squish it and you filter that, that's probably the best way to try to measure these particles as opposed to just scanning the food or the water, huh?
Excellent example. Yes, water or liquid or foods, it's hard to get an accurate reading because they tend to be what are called beta blockers. But by doing that coffee filter experiment you're talking about, you get a much truer reading. And also, if you still see readings after doing the coffee filter, you can dismiss the logic that you're dealing with radon. You're dealing with aggregate contamination. So excellent experiment you're pointing out.
So like we've gotten a lot of emails from people who have said, what do I do about this? And the reality is there's nothing that you can do about the amount of radiation that's coming in. Your only hope, therefore, is to be aware of it, to find a way to stay cognizant of it. And when you see those levels rising, know how to seal off the area that you're in. Obviously, you've got plenty of Geiger counters. I've got plenty of Geiger counters. Most people don't, but they are buying Geiger counters left and right. I've gotten a lot of emails from people who have said, hey, you produce all types of equipment. What kind of Geiger counter should I get? And that's one thing. If people go to joshuapwarren.com, they will see a Geiger counter set that we put together, which we'll talk more about later. But let me ask you for now, if somebody gets a Geiger counter, what type of reading should be a reading that they start to become concerned with?
If you normally turn it on and you see 20 to 40, you should be very happy that you're in a normal environment. But immediately when you start to see levels go up above 60, something's going on that you need to be aware of, and you need to have situational awareness to why. If you happen to see levels above 100 in CPM, it's time to start figuring out exactly what's going on because you are experiencing contamination at that point on an elevated level.
Okay, when we come back, we'll talk more about what you can do if you have a Geiger counter and you start seeing that you're exposed to these levels, how to protect yourself and your family. It's very simple, but you just have to know what to do. We'll dig into that when we return. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Thank you. explode. I'm Josh Cliffy Warren. We're talking about radiation this hour with Mr. Mobius. And, you know, again, this is a topic that I put off for a long time because the last thing that I want to do is be accused of being some kind of a fear monger. But it's reached a point now where I've seen enough evidence. There's enough data in, enough credible experts to think that, okay, there is a threat. And that's the bad news. The good news is you can learn what's around you wherever you are. It doesn't have to be invisible. I mean, if it's around you right now, it's invisible. Radiation is. You can't feel it. You can't hear it. You can't smell it until it's too late. You know, it's only when the effects kick in. We're fortunate that we live in a day and age when we have technology that can detect it. And when you start taking it into your body, I mean, that's the worst for you, especially if you have kids. You know, Mobius, there are a lot of myths out there that people talk about related to radiation when they're referring to how it affects the human body. There's a myth about bananas, for example. What do you know about this one?
I'm so glad you asked me that. I keep hearing, you know, scientists who I assume are being paid somewhere by the nuclear industry to give misinformation. And they point out that eating bananas are radioactive and it's not harmful and that you should not be afraid of the radiation types that are coming from the Japan accident. And this is not logical because potassium is not held in the body. It is passed. And that is also true of barium that they mentioned that is used in nuclear medicine. It's not retained by the body because it does not break down in water. So it is passed. The problem is all of the various isotopes that are being released in the accident, they are ingested by the body and they don't come out. They build up in the thyroid, in the lungs, in the heart, and in the muscle tissues. And that's why they lead to cancers. A very small dose is a permanent dose in the lungs. I think there's an example from Genghis Khan where the people filmed were downrange from the nuclear test above ground facilities. And after 13 weeks of breathing in the radioactive sand, at least 50% of the cast, crew, and actors all came down and died of lung cancer. So it's very serious to be exposed to ingestion and to inhale these particles. And no, you cannot compare these to a banana.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've had, as I mentioned, many Geiger counters over the years. I know that you have. And when all these people started emailing us and saying, I need to get a Geiger counter, but I know absolutely nothing about measuring radiation, I wasn't sure what to tell them to get because most of the Geiger counters on the marketplace do require some scientific training to interpret. I mean, basically, you buy the thing, you take it out of the box, it's got a big, thick instruction manual, and there's just one little scale there, and you have to take readings on that scale and extrapolate a lot from that reading. But you started doing research, and you found this Geiger counter, and you shipped it to me. And this thing is unbelievable. It is the simplest, most comprehensive, sensitive little Geiger counter that I've ever seen in my entire life. And I'm happy to go on the record and say that. It's got a screen on it that actually graphs everything. It records everything. And you can plug it into your computer and it will give you comparisons over time to what is being picked up. And so we started talking about this and we put together what we're kind of happy to call the ultimate Geiger counter kit, which has the Geiger counter. It's also, and this is one that has a little lithium battery that you can charge from your computer. And it also is going to come with a little source of radioactive uranium that you can use as a sample so you can see the difference between what's normal and what's not normal. Also, we have an instructional CD that we've made with a video where I'm explaining how it works, why it works. And then right now, for people who get this thing, we're going to also give them access to a support team where they can get actual live support, questions answered related to how this all works, anything that's happening in their particular situation. I mean, I've even been on the History Channel talking about Geiger counters, so, you know, I've got quite a bit of experience. The whole thing is $189.95, so there's our little commercial for this Geiger counter kit. But now, if somebody gets this Geiger counter kit, Movius, they pay the $189.95, and they take it and they turn it on, and holy crap, there is a dangerous level of radiation that's coming down in their rain, it's in the food they're eating, and there is a sense that there is some type of fallout that's happening right over their area. What can they do in terms of sealing off their property and protecting themselves?
Okay, we've included on the CD a list of emergency instructions that you can go to somewhere like Walmart or Home Depot and get plastic and duct tape. And if you have a short-term situation, you can seal yourself in safely. But one of the most important things that you can do is to get a mask, and we give the specs on getting masks and how to use them, because I simply think that the most instant way of taking a hard hit is getting any hot particles in the lungs. And I should say something. Back in 3/11, when, you know, like my email the day after Japan had their accident, I had not hundreds but thousands of emails from Japan asking for Geiger counters. And essentially, I didn't have the technology that we now do to work with, but I was able to make hundreds of Geiger counters, get them built from old stock from our civil defenses, get, you know, like all of the units calibrated and get samples over to Japan. And I was very happy I was able to help these people. They simply did not have what they needed. But I'm also worried because the Pentagon just bought 13 million doses of iodine protection called potassium iodide. And they are simply saying, in making that investment, that they're not positive that the situation is not going to tank over in Japan and that we're going to have a high amount of radiation coming. And I know from my past experience that when this happens, the Geiger counters sell out and you don't have access to them. Back in 3/11, it got to the point that I could not find stock for less than $800 to buy a Geiger counter. So I finally could not supply any more to Japan than I had. And I feel very positive at this moment that we have a very low-cost, high-quality product to give people why they are available. It is the ultimate prep item that you need, and it will not be available if something really bad happens.
And for those who don't understand anything about why the radiation is even dangerous, think about the idea that a radio wave, like that you might be experiencing right now, if you're listening to this program via your traditional radio, a radio wave is giant. It's about the size of a building. And these are so big that they're able to move over trees and other structures and travel a long way. And when that wave gets smaller, like say the size of a bumblebee or something like that, well then it becomes a microwave. And when it's smaller like that, it's able to interact more with smaller particles, which is why when you put your cheeseburger in the microwave, the friction between that wave and the particles of the cheeseburger is what causes it to heat up. And when that wave gets smaller and smaller, it finally gets small enough that it becomes visible light, and then it gets even smaller, and it becomes X-rays. And X-rays get so small that they're able to sort of slip between molecules. And that's why that you can see through things with x-rays. They're slipping through the molecules and showing you what's inside a box that's closed. But when it comes to this radioactive stuff, it becomes so tiny, so small, that these waves are able to go into the atoms and start shredding them and ripping them apart. And when that happens, you get mutations as those cells reproduce. And that's where you get your cancers and your sickness. And that's why these waves are so dangerous. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about why that you need to see these particles around you, and how that the only way you can see them is with a right tool. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking.
You've got time for a hot home-cooked breakfast. Delicious and piping hot in only 3 microwave minutes.
Are you kidding?
Yo, pretty packages of Frosted Delight.
Look, it comes with a toy. I like that. I want a number 4, number 6, and throw in a plastic donut.
Just enjoy the gritty crunch. It tastes just like chicken. Wrappers of mini bites.
Man, are you freaking blind? It's a rock.
All mixed in the pot bowl. Mama's homemade from scratch. Well, not quite. Right. Toasted over flames. They be tasting quite right. All hell, King Neptune and his water breathers. No snail thing too quick for his water feeders. Don't waste time with your net. Our net worth is set. Ready, go. Many, no others. We be the colors of the mad and the wicked. We be bad when we break it with the 24-hour sign. Shower mind habits while you dine like rabbits with the crunchy, crunchy carrots. Gotta have it super fast.
Oh, I have breakfast you've got time for.
Super fast, super fast. I couldn't laugh. It's just time for breakfast. Keep it true, keep it true. You'll never do.
And his water breathers. No snail thing too quick for his water feeders. Don't waste time with your net. Our net worth is set. Ready, go. Many, no others.
What?
We be the colors of the mad and the wicked. We be bad. We be bricking with the 24-hour sign. Shower mind habits while you dine like rabbits with the crunchy, crunchy carrots.
That's true.
Gotta have it super fast.
Super fast, super fast. I couldn't laugh. It's just time for breakfast. Keep it true, you'll never do. Tonight, tonight, your laughter's luminum. A crucial fun, aluminum. The sea is free, you're asking. The sea is free, you're asking.
In the final minutes of hour number 2 on tonight's Speaking of Strange, next hour, well, we call it the Dark 30 Hour, and that's when we dig into the more outrageous and controversial news, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So I hope that you will stick around for that if you're that kind of person. Right now I'm wrapping up a conversation with Mr. Mobius about, well, the reality of the fact that we've tried to put our head in the sand like little ostriches and forget the fact that there has been a nuclear disaster, but the fallout is starting to reach the United States in unexpected ways. And you know, there is a little science experiment that you can do, one of these sort of grassroots things. You can probably find more info out on YouTube, where you can take a little glass or plastic container and you can put some dry ice in it and you can create a little vapor. And when you do that, you can, for a short period of time, see the radioactive particles that are coming in from the universe. It looks like little jets, little meteors just shooting through this cloud. It's a little cloud chamber. And if you take something that's radioactive and hold it near it, I mean, you just see an absolute explosion around it. And it's amazing to think that you can have that amount of energy in your body just shredding your atoms and shredding your cells. so that those cells are reproducing and creating the most horrible mutated things, and not even know it, because you know, radiation is something that it's always been around, but it, you know, it wasn't discovered until the 1800s. And we're talking about the idea here that there is an energy around you which could be killing you, and you're putting it in your mouth, and the only way that you can know that it's there is to get a tool like a nice Geiger counter. So that's why, you know, we're telling Josh.com, just click on this ultimate Geiger counter, watch a little video. Just read about it. It's $189.95.
Hey, Joshua, you mind repeating that last little bit? You garbled it a little bit, and seconds there.
Okay. Yeah, I'm out here in the countryside, in the middle of Texas. So let me just tell everybody again: watch the video. Go look at JoshuaPWarren.com at the Ultimate Geiger Counter Kit. That's $189.95. Before this hour is up, Mobius, tell everybody ultimately what the message is that you want to get across.
Okay, in summary, I don't think you can trust the mainstream media. They've been underreporting, and some of the people in the scientific community are just giving misinformation. If people talk about bananas or how radiation's not harmful because of exposure, my message is, don't listen to that. That is not the truth. You need to think in terms of either ingestion or inhaling particles. And yes, they are very dangerous then. And it is important to take steps to be prepared in case there is a crisis. There's no way to look at it. The fact the government has ordered 13 million doses of potassium iodide, what they're protecting from has a half-life of 8 days. That means that 1 week to 2 weeks after an incident in Japan, it would not be there. They're probably saying that they fear the situation in Japan is going to tank and get very ugly. And we need to be smart and prepared in case it does, because we're not being told the truth.
I remember right after the Fukushima disaster happened, how that you called me up, Mobius, and you said, I cannot believe how desperate people are to get Geiger counters. I mean, you told me that you'd sold everyone that you had, and you were on the phone calling, emailing, trying to get Geiger counters for people, and they just weren't there. They were gone. I mean, they were instantly gone. And, you know, this is a Geiger counter that not only you can get for your safety, but also I can tell you, as a paranormal investigator, when I've been at Brown Mountain, I've seen weird results there. A lot of my investigations that I go on, I pull out a Geiger counter. There are a million reasons to get one of these things, but I think we can say, hey, we're doing our part. Whatever any of you think about it who are listening, if you think it's dangerous, if you think it's fear-mongering, do the research yourself. And you'll understand why this is important. Mr. Mobius, thank you, sir, for your time tonight. Always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you. Good night, people.
All right, when we come back, it will be time for, yes, the infamous, the notorious, the internationally famous Dark 30 Hour on Speaking of Strange.